Does anyone know what is going to happen next year? Oh, no takers on that. Anyone know what's going to happen next week? Not that either, huh? Anyone know what's going to happen tomorrow? No, we don't know that either. And you know, if you thought for a second that you might know, the weather in Michigan this week should make you stop and realize, no, you cannot predict what will happen tomorrow, right? This week we have had what? Rain, snow, hail, tornadoes, winds, 65-degree weather, 20-something, I believe it got to last night again. We do not know the future, do we? No. So today, as we turn to Mark chapter 14, the passage, the full passage is Mark 14, 12 through 26. I want you to think about the fact that we do not know the future, and no one does, and no one did back during that time as well. You'll remember where we're at in Mark is in the last week of Jesus' earthly life. And last week, Pastor Eric told us about the woman who poured out her expensive perfume on Jesus. She gave all she had, couldn't take it back, not knowing what the next day would hold, not knowing that that Jesus who she loved so much would very soon die, and she was preparing his body for burial with that perfume. She only did what the great love she had for Jesus told her to do. We also learned last week that that very thing seemed to be the thing that pushed Judas over the edge, right? He left that place and went and made a deal to betray Jesus for money. In the next day or so, Mark picks up to tell us that it is the first day of the Festival of Unleavened Bread, part of the Passover celebration. And on this day, the Passover lambs, sheep, were killed. This is when good Jews would have a special dinner. This is the same voice that was so sweetly singing at the end of the song just a few moments ago. We have it all in us, don't we? This is when good Jews would have a special dinner in honor of the time when God had rescued them from Egypt, right? We find in this passage, beginning in verse 12, that Jesus had seemed to have arranged a room for the disciples and for him to have this special Passover meal together in Jerusalem, another thing that good Jews did. And here is where I want you all to use your imagination. I want you to become a disciple in this story. The commentaries tells us that this upper room, we often refer to that Jesus and his disciples went to an upper room, that often these upper rooms were a second story onto a house, and that they were used for guests to stay in, or for a teacher, a traveling teacher, to come, and other people would come, and teaching would happen there. Or it was used as a retreat room, a place to get away from the regular everyday life and just retreat. Today, let's think of it as a place of retreat, a place where Jesus has invited us, his disciples, to meet with him and leave behind the busyness of our lives, a place to come and sit with Jesus. Will you come to the upper room with us? Now remember, you're a disciple. You are in this story on that day. And you do not know what's going to happen that night or the next day or the next few days after that. And that's a danger of being a church person, right? We enter into this story and we know that Jesus is about to die, and we know Jesus is about to rise again, but the disciples did not know that this night. So erase all of what you think you know and become a disciple. And let's watch the video. Oh, not yet. Sorry, got ahead of my notes. They're about to eat their Passover meal. And this meal, these disciples, good Jews, would have eaten many, many times before, every year at this same time. You would know the ritual. You would know the words. And you are with friends in this place having a meal that you have been living and walking with for 3 years. You're just together with friends doing what you've done many times before. But what the disciples have done before is not the same as what we in now modern time has done before. That night is the first time Jesus will introduce the idea that we now call communion. Never before had he heard the idea that the bread they're about to eat is the body of Jesus. Never before have they heard the idea that the wine they're about to drink is the blood of Jesus. When Jesus eats and drinks with them, they're thinking about the years before when their ancestors were slaves in Egypt. They're thinking about the plagues that had happened. They're thinking about that last night in Egypt when they're told they need to kill the Passover lamb. They put the blood up on the doorposts, and then the angel of death would pass over their house and not kill their oldest son. This is what the disciples are thinking as they're sitting in that room with Jesus that night. Now, let's watch the video and see what Jesus says, his new words he has to say to his disciples. All right, remember, we're using our imaginations. We are one of those disciples who has just heard a lot of unexpected words from Jesus. Let me point out what some of those unexpected words are. First, one of you will betray me. Now think about it. These men, 12 of them, have been traveling and living together for 3 years. Really becoming probably more family than just friends. And now suddenly Jesus says, one of you will betray me. Now it's interesting to me when you read words you've read hundreds of times before, but you study them again anew. This week as I was reading, something jumped out at me. Jesus says, or Mark explains in verse 19, deeply saddened, they asked him one by one, it's not me, is it? It made me think about that Jesus, at the very first communion, helped his disciples to become reflective, to consider where they were in relation to Jesus. One by one, it's not me, is it? Am I capable of betraying Jesus? Could it be me? That seems like a good question for us to ask ourselves. Where am I? What could I do? What am I capable of? The second surprising thing that Jesus says to his disciples is, this bread is my body. Now, this is fascinating. As he gives them the bread, he says that first, and then he breaks it. He says, this is my body, and he gives it to them. Now, they had always known this bread as a reminder of the bread without yeast they had eaten way back in Egypt. That's what it had represented, just those things way back then. Now Jesus says, this is my body. Now remember, the disciples have no idea that Jesus is about to die tomorrow. And now Jesus says this bread is Jesus' body. It doesn't make any sense to them. What could this mean? why would they eat Jesus' body? That's a strange thing. Then the third surprising thing they say, Jesus says, is, that wine is my blood. Now remember I said, when he gave them the bread, he first, before they ate it, said, this is my body. When he gave them the wine, it says he passed the wine around and everyone took a drink. And after they were done, he said, that wine is my blood poured out to you. Now think about this for a moment. Any of you who know anything about Jewish history and tradition, in the Old Testament, blood is not a clean thing to Jews. They do not drink blood. They do not have blood in their food. They would not eat their blood, their meat red, that had any blood in it. Blood was unclean. And Jesus has just claimed that the wine that they just drank is his blood. They don't think that's a nice thing, friends. They were probably appalled that Jesus just said that. I just drank Jesus' blood? What does that mean? I don't understand. And then Jesus says, and I'm not going to drink wine again until there's a new way in God's kingdom. What? Again, nothing of this makes sense to them. Now, all of you who have sat in church sometimes, definitely in school at one time or another, maybe at your parents' house, and heard ideas and words but had no idea what they meant, right? Can you relate to that? If you're a non-math person, you're sitting in math class going, the teacher just said something and none of that makes sense to me, right? This is really probably what the disciples were thinking at their very first communion Jesus ever offered them. He's saying words and none of them make sense. I've put it in picture form for you. This is what the disciples did not understand. That Jesus equals the bread and the wine, equals the lamb sacrifice, equals Jesus is dying on the cross. The disciples did not know that. We all in this room now today, we know that when we take communion, that is what we are remembering, that Jesus became the sacrifice for our sin. His body was broken. His blood was shed. He became the lamb, the final lamb. We don't need any more sheep killed, right? And that he, when we take this bread and this wine, that somehow it reminds us of Jesus and his death on the cross. We know that. The disciples did not understand any of that. And they especially did not understand that would happen the very next day. They didn't know the future. They didn't know. Now let me show you what the things the disciples did understand on the next slide. Yep. That's it. And Jesus served them his body and his blood, the bread and the wine, anyway. Even Judas. Judas will betray him. His disciples will desert him. They will leave him in his biggest time of need, right? When the soldiers come to arrest him, they will all run away. Jesus tells them that actually in verse 27, you will all desert me. And yet, he served them. Do you know what we call this? Grace. Grace. I've mentioned before, my favorite definition of grace is this: God gives us what we need and not what we deserve. Some theologians call this grace that I'm talking about, this moment when Jesus poured out himself and tried to explain to his disciples before they could ever understand what it meant. Theologians call it prevenient grace. Now, you will not ever find the word prevenient in your Bible. And I don't really like to use a lot of those words if they're not in the Bible because they're just theologian made-up words. But in this case, there's something really important about it. Prevenient is this word that means before we realize we are getting grace, God is giving it to us. In church tradition, we call communion a means of grace, a way to receive the grace of Jesus. Today, we're going to take communion, this reminder of the blood and body of Jesus, in this different way, as I mentioned. I want to do it differently because I want you to receive it as a means of grace. A thoughtful receiving instead of just a thing we do at church. I want you to use this communion time as a time of retreat, of meeting with Jesus, coming away from the world. Think on this grace, this prevenient grace that Jesus said that night is offered to many, not just the Jewish chosen few. Jesus was offering it to many as want to receive it. You don't have to understand all about communion. You don't have to understand all about Jesus. The disciples didn't understand when Jesus first offered it to them. Rather, this morning, I invite you to reflect on two things. Yourself and Jesus. One, what am I capable of? Two, what is Jesus capable of? What is Jesus capable of? And three, am I willing to receive whatever Jesus has for me today? Am I willing to receive whatever Jesus has for me today, whether or not I understand it completely yet or not? As I mentioned, we're going to receive the bread and the juice a little differently today. I will read an invitation in a minute. This is your retreat time. This space in the front of the church is going to become our upper room, our place where we go to meet Jesus. There's going to be two ushers that will come forward and dismiss people row by row so we're not all crowded up here at once. You're going to come down the middle aisle. And you are welcome to come and either kneel at the altar or sit on the front pew. All of this space is sacred this morning. Once you are sitting or kneeling, a pastor will come to you and offer you the bread and the juice. You have two choices then. You can receive the body and the blood of Jesus. You can take the bread and the juice, and you can eat and drink it when you're ready. Or number two, if you're not ready to receive Jesus, you are still welcome to come to meet him here. And all you need to do, if you don't want to take communion, you're not ready, you can cross your arms in front of you, and a pastor will say a prayer of blessing over you. So all are welcome at the front, at this space set aside to meet Jesus. Judas was welcome. All the disciples who were about to desert Jesus were welcome. All of us are invited into this space. It is your choice to receive Jesus or not. You can stay this morning and pray. You can stay a short time, a long time. Just please eat and drink at the front and leave your cup. There's a basket at the front of each row, and you can leave your cup when you return back by the outside. So we'll come down the middle and go back on the outside. But it's okay to sit and wait here. That's why we're going to have ushers, so that when there's more space, they'll tell your row that you can come up. Pastor Eric is going to play and sing during this time. Listen and worship with him. Pray at your seat. Please remember that if it takes a little bit longer than it usually does, that even that time in your seat is time to be with Jesus. This is a quiet space. I am offering you a gift today, a place to quietly sit with Jesus. Don't talk to others. Just quietly be with Jesus. Pastors, if you will come forward, Pastor Sue and Pastor Justin and Pastor Mike will be assisting me in offering you communion this morning. Now, here is your invitation. Communion moves us past being just observers to participating. When we receive physically this symbol of the body and blood of Jesus, we are not just nodding our heads, we are participating in the practice of communion. We're remembering what Jesus said and what Jesus did. And we are remembering that Jesus is being born in us. He's coming to us. He's walking with us just like he did so long ago. Would you pray with me as we prepare our hearts? Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who gave in love Jesus, your Son, because you love the whole world and you love each of us. We come to your table to remember you, and we confess that we continually fall short of your perfection. You know this about us and love us still. So we come to this means of grace, and we turn our eyes and our hearts once again to you. Speak to us in a new way, Jesus. Amen.